First impressions can take only 6 seconds to make. But if you're neurodivergent, those quick judgments about you can be misleading.
Because of most people's ignorance around learning disabilities, people think it means you're intellectually incapable.
I'm not Rain Man. Every autistic person isn't Rain Man.
I thought I was talking to people who understood dyslexia and ADHD, but they did not.
They freaked out and were like, well, if you've got Tourette's, if it's going to be a problem, then we can just fire you and get someone else.
I'm Carolyn Keel, and I host Beyond 6 Seconds, a podcast where neurodivergent people share their lives and advocacy.
One of my goals is making autism not something that's scary.
I really want to help people understand dyspraxia a little bit better.
Get the real life of Tourette syndrome out there. Stop thinking we were nothing but a joke.
Let's shatter misconceptions and celebrate neurodiversity together. Listen at beyond6seconds.net or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Maddie.
I'm Amber.
And we're Witches Talking Tarot.
We are the weirdos in this
room. Like a song, like a Santa snubble.
Flip the switch and let the cauldron bubble. Sam.
Wow. Hi, everyone. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I forgot I was supposed to open this. I was like,
you're okay. Like,
what is
a,
this bitch doing?
I can leave like, this. B, now that I have CapCut, I can easily cut this.
I don't mind if you leave it. I was literally staring at you like, it's recording.
I know. I'm like, did she can see because she's not there.
I know. I can see it. Hi, everyone. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Amber.
And we're Witches Talking Tarot. And today we're going to be discussing the topic of infinity symbols. And this is really popular. It's always been really popular, but it's popular in pop culture. So many people have these tattoos.
It was, yeah, and jewelry, like so yes. Much jewelry. Like I actually looked up the difference because we were talking about it.
Uh-huh.
And so I looked up the difference between infinity and eternity.
Uh-huh.
And first off was jewelry.
Jewelry?
Yeah. What's the difference between an infinity ring and an eternity ring?
Uh-huh.
And like, I was like, okay, no, that's, I want words.
Like,
there's
so much.
Like, I actually want the definitions of these words, you know? But yeah, it was really interesting because technically infinity applies to quantitative, like, the reason that the lemniscate is a mathematical symbol is because infinity refers to like quantifiable things, like mathematical things, whereas eternity deals with like time. So I think maybe, you know, the things that we were like, oh, I'm not sure if they count, maybe they do count for that what's the difference thing.
Right.
But we didn't know that when we decided. And like, it's not going to be a 2-hour long episode.
Right.
Plus, like, we're going to do more symbols episodes. So we'll cover those other things.
Right. We totally will. But I noticed that there was so much, I mean, shit, I didn't have to Google to see that there are so many women, or I'm sorry, people who have
the tattoos
and the necklaces and the bracelets and the anklets and the rings, and it goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why they're wearing them. Like, would you?
I think because, like, okay, so from the standpoint of, let's start with jewelry.
Okay.
So infinity symbol on your jewelry, it's supposed to, like, you know, in current era, outside of spirituality, it would symbolize our endless love. Like, I think infinity symbol, I hear the song from Happy Gilmore, Endless Love. God, I can't think of that song without thinking of him and the Zamboni.
Yes.
And yes. I love that movie. But, and then from the eternity ring standpoint, I mean, again, it's that endless love, right? Because both things represent having no end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the point of them, not only in jewelry, but like when you get the infinity symbol tattooed on you. Uh-huh. I know a lot of people do it from a standpoint of like, mental health awareness.
Yes,
very similar. Like, I feel like the infinity symbol was a popular tattoo before the semicolon was a popular tattoo.
Uh-huh.
Represent the same kind of
yes
healing.
Yes, yeah.
I don't want our YouTube or anything to get blanked out, so I'm not going to say the S word.
I know what you referring.
Yeah, so hopefully I figured you did by your reaction, but
night.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I don't want to make it Yeah, I'm like, I don't know how to, but you guys know what I'm putting up. You're picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah. But there's more than just jewelry and tattoos and whatever the hell to this symbol. There's so much more. It's actually an ancient symbol. It's not like a came out in 2010s with the mustache craze type vibe. This is very ancient. Ancient Greeks. Other ancient people.
I mean, because like when you think about it, it's a lazy figure eight. You know what I mean? And so like it's something that's been used historically. Oh my God. If I ever want this dog to get in a video for me to do something for Hecate, she's like, no, I'm too shy. But in the middle of the show, now that we're recording in a way where you're totally on screen, hey, Starlight, thank you. This is Starlight, guys. She's wanting pets, apparently. Sorry, everyone. I don't know what I was saying because Starlight totally threw me off.
It's such an ancient symbol. Like yes, the ancient Greeks used it before the ancient Greeks. There was the, it starts with an O. I have trouble pronouncing it. What is that word?
With an O? I'm not sure. I was going to think, the Ouroboros?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The Ouroboros was used very anciently by the Mesopotamians, the Egyptians, the Greeks, honestly, the Celts. I think everybody has used the Ouroboros, which I found highly interesting.
It's like, also very popular. I see it on...
I just saw it on like somebody's car the other day.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, yeah, we're doing that for our episodes this week.
So the Ouroboros, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, I believe so. I believe so. We did not Google this one. Like, we didn't look it up on YouTube like we did, you know. So I don't think anybody will be offended if we get this one wrong. It's not a generalized peoples. It's a thing. So sorry
the
if we
snake
said it wrong.
Swallowing its own tail.
Representing destruction and creation all in one movement, which is infinity. I mean, really.
The phallus like, and the womb.
Yeah, just like the mushroom. Check out last week's episodes. Which anything that represents the phallus and the womb to the ancient peoples was so powerful because they knew that's where life came from. Like the coupling of these things created life and life was necessary.
You know, I find it strange that, or ironic, I guess, that the symbol for infinity and life and rebirth and destruction and creation would be the snake swallowing its own tail, because a snake swallowing its own tail in real life is a very unhealthy, stressed out snake. And again, so is life and rebirth. And destruction.
And part of me goes like, did that imagery come from someone seeing a snake swallow its own tail, or did that imagery come from the fact that the snake is associated with rebirth?
Right. It could be totally unrelated, and it's just a coincidence that snakes do that.
I don't believe in coincidence. So when you say that,
like,
but it's not a good sign if a snake does that.
I'm pretty sure any animal whatsoever, it's a bad sign.
If it eats itself.
Yeah, right? like a bear might gnaw off its own foot to get out of
trap. But I mean this, but you know.
Don't set traps, guys. Seriously.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get distracted. But the snake swallowing its own tail is very popular nowadays as well. Mm-hmm. I would pair it with the infinity sign in popularity. I mean, you see T-shirts, like you said, on a car. Like, and I just wonder, do these people using these symbols, do they know what they represent, or do they think they know what they represent because of modern interpretation, like with the infinity sign?
With the Ouroboros, I think that not everybody who represents one, like not everybody who has a, like the bumper sticker on their car or wears a necklace with an Ouroboros or has a tattoo. I don't think every single person, but I think more people that have the Ouroboros iconography in their life understand what that means versus the people that have the infinity symbol. Granted, the infinity symbol, because it's not just a spiritual symbol, I think maybe I'm being a little closed-minded by saying it that way. I think that perhaps I should rephrase this to say that I don't think everybody uses the infinity symbol from a spiritual perspective. I think a lot of people that use the infinity symbol use it from a love perspective. Like, I think a lot of it has to do with like that endless love thing. That's my own personal opinion from my own lived experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's right. That's just that from my experience. I don't see many people using the infinity symbol, the lemniscat. Uh-huh. For the spiritual, you know, everything's connected. There is no beginning. There is no end. Mm-hmm. Versus like the Ouroboros, they definitely see it that way.
Does that make sense? Like, no, absolutely. Because you say the infinity symbol and I'm like, I feel like some numerologists maybe, or like some astrologists maybe use it.
Oh yeah, because like when you look up number 8 in numerology, it definitely talks about the continuation of life and that whole infinity piece, because of the fact that the number 8 is a visual representation of infinity.
Uh-huh.
Which is neither a start nor an end.
Life and rebirth, creation and destruction.
Right. Which like, I won't lie, like as we, you know, cause we're kind of talking about like the philosophy of infinity. And like when I was reading about the infinity symbol, I actually started off on a college website about like mathematics. Uh-huh. So like,
that made this research difficult, if I'm being honest with you.
And I found it highly interesting that, like, because it was talking about infinity from a mathematical perspective, it was talking about the Greeks and their use of infinity and this thing called apeiron or apeiron, which is like it's the Greek word for, it's like the chaotic version of infinity, right? Huh. It's what the universe was created out of is apeiron. But also, you know, that mess on my couch was a apeiron. It's like, it was a bad concept to them, but I find it like beautiful because it's the creation and destruction and nothingness and everything all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like, because it's not quantifiable, they found it to be like a bad thing, but I think it's beautiful.
Stand mathematicians.
Did I pronounce that wrong? I just guys.
No, I'm laughing because of what you said, not how you said it.
No, but the ancient Greeks, the philosophers and the mathematicians used the infinity sign, just like with what Amber said. And that before that came the snake swallowing the tail. So it all starts there, and then we're moving through. And then there's a bunch more, but I just.
Yeah, there's so many, but like we just kind of. Again, like. Remember a couple of minutes ago where I said, like, what's the difference between infinity and eternity? And like, we had decided we were trying to stick as close to infinity for this episode because it's a whole series, right, on symbols. So, you know, but there are so many.
There are. And then we're coming to 1655 when John Wallace, and I took care to remember this motherfucker's name. That's why I'm mentioning him. Like, ask Amber, I said it like 3 times. Anyway, he discovered the infinity symbol that the ancient Greeks, or he quote unquote discovered. We don't fucking know.
I mean, from the mathematic current era perspective, he was the first one to rediscover. Because like, look, our current era, a lot of it is rediscovering what the ancients already fucking knew, but that Christianity erased from us. Like, seriously, they wanted us dumb and gullible.
Yeah.
No offense to our Christian listeners. We love you. We're just talking about the guys that wrote the book. Literally.
We're just talking about the Catholics.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. My grandmother's Catholic.
They still did the things that they did.
Anyway.
Sorry,
guys. If you can't read, you can't read the Bible, so you don't know if they're telling you wrong. Oh, that's what they wanted.
Watch The Handmaid's Tale. You know all about that one.
Animal Farm. We're all equal. Of us are more equal than others. Isn't that right, Starlina?
Dude, I had to read that book in high school and it gave me fucking nightmares because that shit straight up triggered that Muppet type fear. Because as I'm reading it, it's about animals talking. So in my
head, they're real animals, not Muppets.
But first of all, fuck the pigs.
Sorry, yeah, the pigs.
Fuck
the pigs. They're more equal than others. Because that's why bacon tastes so good, y'all.
They sold the horse to the group.
Yep.
Fuck you, man. Like, I remember a lot of that book.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm actually, like, I've been thinking about it constantly. And so I'm like,
Yeah, I'm just going to like read that one night. Maybe tonight. I don't know. It's not that long. So like, I'll read it all in one night. Jesus, Starla.
And you know what my husband pulled out of a box that I happened to
fit? It's not dinner time yet. Sorry, guys.
The Christmas game. A Christmas Carol. And I was like, I fucking love A Christmas Carol. I told you a million times I love A Christmas Carol. I'm like, I'm reading that this year. Fuck yeah, I'm reading that.
Hell yeah.
Like, and A Grinch Stole Christmas. There was like a whole box of Christmas books from his childhood. I'm like, yes. But that's not what we're talking about.
So wait, are you talking like, is it a Charles Dickens?
Yes.
Oh.
I know you don't like it. We've had this conversation. I read it in the sixth grade. Loved it. I like Charles Dickens.
Oh, he's such a terrible writer. Oh my gosh. Like, oh, such a bad writer.
I debated on reading Starla. It. Now?
Sorry.
But it's not Christmas time. So I'm like, no, I gotta read it.
Yeah, we wait. Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna read A Christmas Carol, you may as well do it at Christmas to make it just like that much more magical.
Right? Exactly.
I mean, but get through Dickens' writing. It might take you infinity.
But I like Jane Austen, and not everybody likes Jane Austen.
She is a better author than Dickens, I would say.
And she's older. You know, like, she wrote it a long, like, 100 years before. You know what I mean? So, like,
I mean, there are a lot of people who wrote before and after Dickens that are good writers.
I like Dickens. I like Austen.
I love Dostoevsky. Love and me some Dostoevsky.
I love... Bronte, one of them, Emily, I think. Wuthering Heights is amazing. It's so romantic. Like, there's a scene where he finds out the love of his life is dead. And this is my favorite scene. I'm sorry, I have to tell everybody. Favorite scene. And this is why I like toxic men.
Heathcliff, right?
Yes.
Heathcliff finds out the love of his life is dead. I've never made it through.
He returns, finds out she's dead. Screams and bashes his head into a tree like 3 times. And then he falls to his knees and says, I curse you. I curse you to walk these lands. I curse you to stay with me here in this house. Stay with me. And she does. But the curse is that every time he steps into the same room her ghost is in, she's out. She leaves. She goes into a different room. They can't.
Damn, Rick and Morty. Could you not be more original?
They can. They like, never be. No.
Rick has this thing where he programs his house to curse. Like, after his wife dies, he programs her to haunt him. Right? Uh-huh. Like, there's a computer program. She's never in the same room. She's always in the next
room. That is absolutely where they got it from. And it's so sad.
Yeah, like, that's just so funny.
And it literally opens with the narrator, because it's not through Heathcliff's perspective. He's in the room. Oh my God, there's a ghost. There's a ghost. And he's like, get out, get out. And then Heathcliff is in the room and the door shuts. And as the door shuts, he falls to his knees. And he's like, please come in. I'm letting you into this house. I'm letting you into this room. And he didn't realize with his curse, he also cursed himself. It's very romantic in a tragic way. And I like it 100 times better than Jane. Fuck Jane. I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure her sister wrote Jane Eyre, unless I'm wrong.
See, Jane Eyre is the good one of those stories.
The one that's
bless her heart. Maybe. Trapped in a fucking tower. Crazy lady. Anyway, yeah.
Now
Jane
like,
Eyre is
okay.
The one I could get through.
I want to read all of these books again. I am a sucker for fucking historical.
My mom liked the Bronte sisters, both of them. Yeah, and we watched, but she had a particular love for Jane Eyre, and we watched that a lot when I was growing up. Like, I watched a lot of old movies with my mom. I love old movies, like The Bad Seed, the original Bad Seed. So good. Jane Eyre is pretty good. I could never... ever get through Wuthering Heights. Don't remember if I could get through.
Oh, and they're like adopted siblings. Sorry. In Wuthering Heights, they're adopted siblings. So it's like a double whammy. This is why I like the books that I like. Oh my God. What are you doing, Step Bro? Like, it's the original. You know what I mean?
So Heathcliff and his dead lover are step siblings?
Mm-hmm. Well, he was adopted. So she's his, like, his adopted brother. Which is why they couldn't be together, because also he was a Romanian. Like a
they do not like
I don't
Slavic
want to
people.
Use the word, but you like know the word I'm referring people. To.
It starts with a J.
Yes.
Yep. So they don't like, they especially don't like us Eastern Europeans.
Yes. So that's why they couldn't be together. It's because of his. Yeah. It's super good. But like, and then there was another one. What was I going to say? Oh, Little Women. I'm not a big fan.
Love Little. See, that's a good one.
My mom loves Little Women.
Little Women is so good. And you like, I mean, Twisted Romance. Fucking Amy. Fuck you, Amy.
Is that the
you do not deserve to have Lori.
Is that the who?
What? She's the youngest sister who ends up marrying the neighbor that should have been with Joe, but Joe gets with her professor, which, of course, that's best for Joe, but that doesn't matter. I wanted Joe and Lori to be together because that was fucking Winona Ryder and Christian Bale, and oh my God, and I could not stand fucking Amy because she was played by. First, the young version of her is Kirsten Dunst. And then the older version of her is, I actually like her now as an adult. But when I was younger, there was something about that actress that rubbed me fucking wrong. And now I'm gonna have to look it up because I don't remember her name and I want to know her name.
I feel like I am one of the only fans of Mansfield Park by Jane Austen. It is literally the least voted and reviewed book of Jane Austen. Everybody talks shit on it. I love it so
poor Beth.
Much. I don't even want
to Samantha fucking... Mathis. For some reason, yes. Samantha Mathis used to drive me crazy when I was younger. But let's get some good images of her.
Oh, okay.
She's in How to Make an American Quilt, and I fucking love her in that. I love her in that. She's so misunderstood, her character. I mean, anyway, love Samantha Mathis now, but back then, fucking hated her, and she played Amy. That probably is why I hated her, because... Fucking Amy didn't deserve Lori. She's a little brat. Fuck Amy. Fuck Amy. Sorry, I love me some Little Women. It's one of those things that I refuse to watch as an adult because, God forbid, I ruin it for myself.
They actually remade it.
I know.
Or they didn't remake it. They can't remake it.
Didn't they modernize it or something?
No, it's just, it's a new version. I'm going to call it a new version as opposed to a remake because the book is over 100 years old and there have been multiple.
Like, there have been multiple, yeah. I'm talking about the 94 because Winona Ryder.
Uh-huh.
And
I think the newer one has Emma Watson in it and somebody else. I don't know. My mom watched it again. She's a huge fan of Little Women. I just prefer Austin over. My God. Now I got to. Okay. Now I'm going to say fuck the book I'm reading and read Jane Austen because there's this series. It was on Hulu. I don't know if it's still on there. It's called Lost in Austen. And it's like this girl reads Jane Austen and she gets transported into... or no, she doesn't read Jane Austen. She watches the movie and she gets transferred into the movie. Mm-hmm. And it's just like... She's like kind of loving Darcy and Darcy's got a thing for her, but she's like, oh my God, I'm ruining this book.
Yeah.
So no, I've got to get him with her and not with me. And it's like, nah, man, if I got transferred into Jane Austen's world of Pride and Prejudice, fuck Elizabeth. I want Darcy. That guy is a billionaire or a millionaire at the very least back.
So you would change the story.
I would change the story.
I could never become that story I love.
I would be the, but I love Darcy. But then you marry a Darcy and then you don't love Darcy. Darcy just stands there and he doesn't talk because he's shy. And then when he does talk, he puts his foot in his mouth and says the most hateful thing. And thanks, Jane Austen. Thank you for that one.
Wow, she
wrote
True to Life.
She really did.
Life has not changed since the 18th.
And there's a YouTube series. Since if you're watching on YouTube,
when did she write
Jane Austen? 1791 is when she, or 1799.
Okay, so like the late 1700s, yes. Early 1800s.
It came out in 1801.
Okay. So like, yeah, I just meant like time period, not like what year.
I think it takes place a little earlier than the
1700s. Oh, well, I just meant like when she was, like what time period she was a writer in, because like obviously she's going to base it off of her own life experience. Right. So I just wanted to, know.
Well, and I love the quotes too. Like, you know, Darcy says, if I loved you more, or I'm sorry, not Darcy, Mr. Knightley from Emma says, if I loved you less, I could talk about it more. And he's saying, I love you so much. I'm shy. I can't tell you how much I love you.
And I haven't read the book, but like what I hear is, oh, well, like there are no words. Like I love you so much. There are no words that are quantifiable that work for.
And Paul Rudd, you the best Mr. Knightley.
Right? Because like Paul Rudd, you are the Celtic knot. You are infinity of beautiful, I presume Celtic descent. I don't know for sure, but Paul Rudd, it sounds like a Celtic name. And the Celtic knot is another infinity symbol.
It is. Thank you.
Yeah.
To bring it back.
Because like Paul Rudd means we're going to talk about Clueless, which is what the Emma thing is. Yes. And I know that we could talk about Clueless Clueless is kind of an infinity thing. Like it, like so many things for me can come back to Clueless, especially outfits that I see.
The perfect modern adaptation of Jane Austen. Love perfect. Clueless. They didn't even keep the names. They didn't even keep the name. They didn't even keep the name Emma. Like her name's fucking Cher. And it is still scene for scene Jane Austen's Emma. Scene for fucking scene. Like when that one fucker, I'm sorry, I'm doing it. Okay, but anyway, when that one douchebag guy like drops her off, he's like,
fucking hate him.
That happens.
Oh my God.
She's like in the carib on the way home and he's like, I kind of like you. And she's like, ew, what the fuck? And he gets out of the car and stomps away and he's like, fine, fuck you. Because you know, it would be ungenerate to kick her out.
Right,
it's literally the same fucking thing. Like,
except Eldridge or whatever his name is leaves her in the fucking like bad part of town while she's all in a silk dress. Ugh. Oh, God, fuck you, sir.
I kept the picture because you took it of Ty. She drew the picture of Ty. And like literally, I mean, I guess her
Starla wants to be a star.
Anyway. Back to the infinity symbol, guys. I'm so sorry.
Like a dog's love is infinity.
So what was the one? I can't pronounce the word. It starts with an
A. Ananta was the Hindu symbol. It's okay, so the Hindu idea for infinity, it seems, is Ananta. And Ananta is a Sanskrit symbol. If you want her down, I wish her down.
Okay.
Yeah, you're fine. She's heavy. And that is... It's a Sanskrit like letter essentially, and the name of the letter is Ananta, but it very much looks like the infinity symbol. And as you read, or as I'm sure you want to tell everybody,
it represents anything and everything. I'm sorry, everything and nothing.
Right, which I mean, again, that infinity, it has no beginning and no ending. It's everything
and that's the core belief of Hinduism, really, is the infinity, which is there is everything and there is nothing, and everything is nothing, and there is no end and there is no beginning, and it is just infinity. They don't quite use the term infinity. But yeah, I think that's very beautiful.
I think it's very beautiful as well, because I mean, like the Celtic knot, you know, it is an interlocking symbol, just like the infinity symbol and the Ouroboros, or, you know, the Lemniscat and the Ouroboros, which represents visually it something that has no beginning or an end, because it is all one pattern that's made out of a single line, a single piece, a single something, however you want to look at it, right? And then there's alternately, we have the Armenian wheel, which is an 8-sectioned wheel that goes round and round, which is just like not Karun's wheel, Dajboga's wheel from Slavic symbols, but it's just like the wheel of the year. It's got 8 pieces and it's all interconnected, and it's like a spiral, but it's not a spiral, but it shows no beginning and no end, because infinity is. It's everything and nothing. It's timelessness. It's not having an ending, and the beginning is, I don't want to say non-existent, but yeah, non-existent actually works really well.
Well, I thought it was really cool when doing this research that I found out that, what the fuck was I going to say? Something about the number 8. I just told you.
The number 8 represents the ascension through the 7 layers.
Oh, yes. Yes. The ascension through the 7 or 8 layers, something like that, of the afterlife. Also, I think it's really cool that our DNA has what looks like a figure 8 or a spiral, yeah, or even a figure 8 type.
It has that appearance of a figure 8 or, mm-hmm, you know, because the way that it's connected, you know, that it's that helix, uh-huh, shape. That's the name of the shape. It's a helix.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it has that figure 8 appearance. Because it is all connected. I mean, it is all connected. If, like, for my Morning Witch series, I once covered the number 8 from numerology, because, like, I'm interested in numerology, but, mm-hmm, like, I'm not, like, an expert or anything like that, right? And so it's just something that, sorry, I was making sure that was still on, like, mm-hmm, the receiver for the microphones. Sorry, guys. But, like, it represents beginnings and endings and things coming to completion or fullness, I'm, mm-hmm, pretty sure. And it's because of the connection to being the symbol for infinity,
yes,
in numerology.
Which is very interesting.
And it's very interesting. And there's, like, I'm sure maybe some of our listeners are thinking, like, oh, well, there's this and there's that and there's this. And again, we're doing an entire series on different symbols. So hopefully we'll get to it. Maybe we will. Like, because, you know, as I alluded to at the beginning of the episode, there were some things that we weren't sure if we should include in this episode or not. Like, Maddie had looked up the Om symbol. I had come across the Ankh, which obviously we knew about both ones. Mm-hmm. But from the standpoint of, does it fit with infinity? And we weren't sure because, like, the Ankh is a symbol of, like, eternal life. And, mm-hmm, the Om is a symbol of being everything and
nothing. Everything and nothing, completeness, like, but not, right, completeness, because there is no completeness,
right? And so it's like, for what I looked up, maybe it counts with this, but when we originally talked about it, it was like, because eternity and infinity, are they the same? And no, they're not, mm-hmm, exactly the same. They are very synonymous. And I was surprised to find that infinity really applies more to math than, mm-hmm, anything else. It makes sense, since, mm-hmm, the lemniscate is used for mathematics, but because the infinity symbol is so prevalent in, mm-hmm, our spiritual aspects of New Age paganism, if, mm-hmm, nothing else, but I would say in other stuff, yeah, but just if nothing else, from that standpoint alone, I've never thought about it from a mathematical perspective until today.
Well, and that's very interesting. If we didn't mention something that maybe you thought we should, let us know in the comments. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe.
Yes, and definitely whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on, please feel free to like and subscribe, and that way you will be notified when our new episodes come out every Tuesday and Thursday. And in the meantime, in between episodes, you can find us on the socials. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Classiest Witches.
At Witches Talking Tarot.
Ah, shit. Because I usually do X. Yeah,
I know you do.
And I was like, damn.
But we're on X at Classiest Witches. I'm going to give a shout out to Melissa.
Death by DVD.
Pam.
Victoria.
Thanks for being our patrons. You can find us on Patreon at Witches Talking Tarot.
Yes.
Thanks for sitting with us for a spell.
Bye. Oh, Starla, stop.
They rule the streets. They take what they want.
Hand it over, street meats, before we make you dead meat.
And you'll have to deal with them if you want to make it through the night. If Ashley wants to survive, she'll need to fight on their turf. She'll have to fight dirty.
Stop struggling.
And she'll have to pick them off one by one if she hopes to make it through the night. Make It Through the Night, the savage novel of revenge and violence on the streets by Amy Cotto. Available now from Amazon.com. Find more by author Amy Cotto by visiting tvfanatic.blog or on Twitter at TV_fanatic_girl. Make It Through the Night by Amy Cotto. Her night from hell has only just begun.